Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our Learning at Share. I hope everyone is well. Again, Erev Shavuos. If you daven Arvis already and or counted Sfira, I did not. Then, Baruch Hashem. And if you didn't, then like me, after Shir Be'ezer Hashem. So here we are, Erev Zman Matan Torosenu. A very auspicious time. It's always an auspicious time to be learning. What better way to prepare ourselves for the Yom Tov of Kabbalah HaTorah and through Limud HaTorah. This year should be a tremendous chus aliyah neshama and zechira neshama letova for Miriam Frond, Allah HaShalom, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, neshama should merit a continuous aliyah and this chus of the Divrei Torah that we will share together. We continue to thank the Frond family very much for their unwavering commitment to these Divrei Torah, lezecher nishmas, their mother, Allah HaShalom. We are in the middle of a piece by Avigdor Miller. I marked off where we... Oh, my gosh, 1 second. I didn't see you. 1 second, please. Who, I was driving you?
Yeah.
I thought he was coming here.
It's raining.
Did you pack?
Yeah.
Like you finished packing?
Pretty much, except for the things that I need for the morning.
You have to be up early.
I know.
Okay.
Okay, I'll see you later.
Lie the top. Be Love safe. You. Okay. So I marked where we were up to, and I just find it so funny. I don't know what the right word is. Ein mikra ba'olam. And when I sit down, because I tell you, I always re-prepare. So I could re-prepare the same source 5 times without exaggeration, 6 times, if that's how many weeks in advance it might take me to get to it. And I just thought it was so interesting that when I sat down to re-prepare for this year and re-review the piece of Rav Avigdor Miller we were up to, you'll hear. It's very apropos for Erev Shavuos. Okay, so we are in the conscious of Vayikra, offering up your ego. We find in Tanakh, that's what we're talking about in the Sefer, right? The whole Sefer is about offering up your ego, Ritzoneinu Laso Ritzoncha, and how do we make the will of the Ribono Sha'olam our will? We should only have one will, and that's to do the will of God. Time here is so fleeting. I don't feel like Sukkot was that long ago. I remember vividly. And now it's already Shavuos. Time here goes so fast. And the whole point of why we are here is to do the will of the Ribono Sha'olam. A person has to look in the mirror every day. Say, am I making a Kiddush Hashem? Ritzoneinu, our will, also Ritzoncha is to do your will. And that's what you find in Tanakh, says Rav Avigdor Miller. There's an expression, chasidav. What does chasidav mean? So first of all, the word chasid, according to Chazal and Tanakh, it does not mean what chasidim mean today. Like the Hasidish lady who was standing behind me yesterday in Costco from Williamsburg. She complimented my tichel. She started talking to me. She complimented my tichel. And we started to speak, and there was a long return line. So I said to her, are you from here? I didn't know. I don't make assumptions. So she said, no, she's from Williamsburg. Okay. So chasidav, or chasid, in the Lashon of Chazal, and in ancient times, does not mean what chasidim mean today. It means pious ones. It was a whole different connotation. I'm not saying anything about chasidim today. They're wonderful Jews. I just mean that it meant something else. So when the Tanakh uses an expression chasidav, it means his pious ones. Okay. So, for example, the Gemara tells us, I think it's a Maseches Brachos Lamed Beis, that the chasidim of old used to spend an hour before davening and contemplation and an hour after davening and contemplation. It just meant anyone who was a pious person. It wasn't a certain kind of levush or a certain kind of mahalach or lifestyle. It meant the pious ones who spend an hour before and after davening learning. Rabbi Avigdor Miller is going to talk about chasidim as being acts of kindness, those who do acts of kindness. And he's going to explain how conquering our will to do His will, through acts of kindness, helps us do Ritzoneinu Laso Ritzoncha. And that's why we find in Tanakh an expression, Chasidav, his pious ones. Now, says Rav Avigdor Miller, a chasid means someone who is kind. He is willing to go beyond the line of duty to be kind. Okay, so why does it say chasidav, his kindly ones? Chasidav, the final yurvav, means his kindly ones. It doesn't say chasid, a kindly one, his kindly ones, meaning the Ribbono Shel Olam's kindly ones. It should say chasidim, the kindly ones. Why does it say chasidav, meaning Hashem's kindly ones? The answer is that it's emphasizing. So what does it mean? In other words, you want to describe a person who does acts of loving kindness. So the expression is not a person who does acts of loving kindness, it's His people, his pious ones who do acts of loving kindness. Why do we ascribe them to the Ribbono Shel Olam? The answer is it's emphasizing. It's not enough for a person to be a kind person and to be willing to let go of his ego. That's very nice. You have to be a kind person and be willing to let go of your ego. But he has to do it because there's a Ribbono Shel Olam in the world. Not because I'm humble, not because I want to be mevater, not because I'm going to let it go, not because I'm going to keep a mental chart in my head of all the times I was mevater to you so you could be mevater to me. The reason I'm going to be kind and do acts of kindness is because there is a Ribono Shel Olam in this world, and that's what he wants me to do. He has to do because of Hashem. If a person is kind just because, then it's not chasidav. His kind ones. If he's kind because it's good for business, for example. Okay, it's nice to be good. It's good for business to be nice to your customers. So you're nice to the people because it's going to increase business. They're going to want to shop in your store. I don't know, whatever kind of store you have. The store proprietor is so kind every time they walk in. So it's going to make more business. That's very nice. Your business might increase, but you're not doing it because there's a Ribono Shel Olam in the world. If you're kind because it's good for your business, whatever your shop is, or it's good for your health. Because people who have high levels of stress have many health issues. So you're going to be a kind person because you want to be healthy. Maybe it makes your marriage successful. That's very, very nice. And his life successful. But that's not the success we're talking about. Now, you could do it for all of those reasons, but that's not chasidav. That's not, I am acting in this fashion because there is a Ribono Shel Olam who wants me to act in this fashion. Now, don't misunderstand me. Says Rav Avigdor Miller, sacrificing your ego will accomplish all those things. It will make your business successful. It will make your health better. It will make your marriage happier. And it will make your life better. However, no question about it, it will accomplish those things. Not only will he be more successful, he'll be happier too. Because in this world, it's an attitude that pays off. People who yield to this false ego, they're always finding trouble. If you yield to your false ego, you're always finding trouble. They're always unhappy. But it's the person who learns to swallow the false pride, to slaughter the Yetzer Hara. He is living successfully. We say in Pirkei Avos. So famously, which we spent these weeks reading between Pesach and Shavuot, all these Shabbosos, what do we say? Very famous, Ben Zoma says, you all know. What does Ben Zoma say? Ezu Giber, who is a mighty warrior, HaKovesh Yitzro, one who can reign in his evil inclination. You will endure in this world because of this. You'll have a better Olam Hazeh if you can slaughter the false ego. The Gemara says, La'olam yihei Adam, this is a beautiful insight. La'olam yihei Adam rach kekana, velo kasha ke'eres. A man should be as soft as a reed, R-E-E-D, and not hard like a cedar tree. What does that mean? You should be soft like a reed and not hard like a cedar tree. Here are two different plants. A reed is soft. And when the wind blows, the reed blows. If you've ever been by a marsh, when I was growing up, my parents had a summer home. They called it a cottage up there. The cottage has like connotations of, I don't know, Hansel and Gretel. You've never been to Canadian colleges, so you don't know. You might have a different image. It was a summer home about an hour north of Toronto in Bellevue, and there before everything became developed, and there's a Jewish community there, a shul, been there for many decades, and there were like swamps. We would go catch frogs. There were swamps and there were reeds. And if you've ever seen the bulrushes and the reeds growing, they are soft. You know, they're green stalk with like the brown thing at the top. You know what I'm talking about? Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And when the wind comes, they blow. It's true. Reeds are soft. A reed is a soft plant. And when the wind blows, it bends with the wind. And here's a cedar tree. He's tall. He's strong. He's the mightiest of all trees. He refuses to budge. It's strong. It won't bend. Along comes a hurricane. And that cedar tree is lying uprooted on the ground. And the reed is still there, standing up. That's the difference. The reed is soft. It comes and it goes with the wind. It learns to bend. Excuse me, if you push it this way and that way, it'll bend in this direction, it'll bend in the other direction, it doesn't break. Obviously, not only is this a scientific fact, at some point the reed's going to break, but there's also a very strong muscle here, which should be already very clear, even without saying it. A person who learns to bend this way and that way, it could be mevato like this and you could be mevato like that. You don't always need to be standing so straight and tall. That when the hurricane comes, when a storm comes, when there's a serious situation going on, when there's really something to stand your ground, you're also going to learn that it's okay to bend here as well. You will avoid the storm, certainly the eye of the storm, because you know you could bend. But a cedar tree, it won't bend. And what's going to happen? When a typhoon comes, what's going to happen to the cedar tree? It's going to be uprooted because it never learned to bend. Someone once told me, or maybe I heard Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter say it, one of the miracles in Pirkei Avos, one of the miracles that is described, that was a miracle in the Beis Hamikdash. One is a woman never miscarried because she smelled the smell of meat. The rain never extinguished the pyre, the fire on the Mizbech. there was never a fly in the slaughterhouse. So there were different miracles that Pirkei Avos tells us, Lo ir keri the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. There were certain miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. One of them was, it's Shavuos, and the time when the people were Olo L'Rega, which unfortunately were not Mipnecha Te'inu Galinu Me'artzeinu V'nisrachachnu Me'ad Moseinu. At the time when they were Olo L'Rega, there was a Nes in the Beis HaMikdash. What was the Nes in the Beis HaMikdash? Omdim Tzufufim U'mishtachavim Revachim. There were tons of people packed in. They can all fit, so we know that there was a miracle. Whoever wanted to fit in the Beis HaMikdash to come stand in the Heichal, the Zara, to see the Avoda, the Korbanos, be Olo L'Regal, bring your on Shavuos, your Bikurim of Chita, and on Omer, bring your Korban Omer, and the Korban Pesach. So how were the people? When they were standing up, they were all squished. They were like side by side. But somehow, miraculously, when they bent down, there was room for everybody. That's a miracle, because if everyone's standing up, tightly packed, right? When all those people bend down, Rahman Hassan, it's going to be like a stampede or something. People are going to, God forbid, it's going to be a very dangerous situation. There's no room for everybody to bow down. If the show is very crowded on Yom Kippur and everyone has to bend down, you know what I mean? If you're a woman and your minhag or your rav tells you to bend. But lamaisa, there has to be room to bend down. But somehow there was a miracle in the Beis HaMikdash. They were omdim tzufufim mishtachavim revachim. It's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Pirkei. When they stood up, they were very tightly packed. And when they bent down, there was room for everybody. I don't remember who told me this word. I don't remember if it's Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter or I heard it somewhere else. There's a hashkafic word here. And the hashkafic... It's not from Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter. The reason I'm thinking it is because I've heard him quote that Ma'amar Chazal, that Mishnah, in regard to Rabbi Kiva Necham Tanu. Okay. Somebody told me this var. I don't remember who. So the var is that when you're standing up, you might look like you're squished, you're immovable. But the key is when you bend down, there has to be room for everybody. What does that mean? Don't hold on to your convictions so tightly that you can't bend. I don't mean literally to bow to other people. That you can't bend and make room for somebody else. A person in life, a Yid in life, a Jew in our Avodas Hashem, we have to make room for other people. It can't be so rigid that you're always standing straight like that cedar tree. Make room for other people. When you bend down, mishtachavim, omdim tzufuf, mishtachavim, ravachim, ravach, there was wide spaces. Everybody had room to bend down. Because a Jew is to be able to make room for other people. And that is what the Gemara says. Adam rach kekana v'lo kasha ke'aras. A person should always be soft as a reed and not hard like a cedar tree. I have to know that it's okay to be mevater, but why? Because there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why, not because it's good for my business, so I'm nice to the customers, and not because it's good for my marriage, which it probably, definitely is, and not because it'll make me happier in life, and not because it'll lower my anxiety, and therefore I'll be healthier physically, because there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why. Because Ribbono Shel Olam said, "Ve'ahavta rechah kamocha." Ribbono Shel Olam said, "Don't do onas tvarim." Ribbono Shel Olam said, "Kol ama mana v'yasam lo sa'anun." Ribbono Shel Olam said, "Don't charge nashach and ribis." There's a Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's why you have to be bendable like a reed. That doesn't mean in areas of halacha. No, it doesn't mean that you should pour milk into your meatballs because you're having somebody who's in your home who likes milk with meatballs and you have to bend like a reed. Obviously not, just to make it very, very clear. But in Inyanim Bein Adam Mechavera, where there's room to bend and it's not transgressing halacha, so that's what we need to do. That's the mashal the Gemara gives for the man who's able to sacrifice, to let himself be bent this way and that way. That's a person who's going to endure. He will endure in this world. He will live a long life. He'll live a healthier life. There's no question about it. One who is willing to be pushed this way and sometimes that way, he will be more successful. He will endure in the world. One second. What did I write in my own notes? Okay. So why I say to Bashir where exactly we're up to? It's so bashir exactly where we're up to, because this specific piece where Victor Miller is talking about the idea of chesed in Avodas Hashem. And to do chesed, to be a pious one who does acts of loving kindness for the purpose of serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, is a very high level of Avodas Hashem. And that too is bending our will to His will. Maybe I don't want to be bendable. Maybe my Yetzer tells me stand up straight. Maybe my Yetzer says don't make room for anybody else. If I bend because there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, it's a very high level. So why was I smiling when I sat down to re-prepare for this year? I probably read this by Rabbi Victor Miller already, I don't know, 4 or 5 times. But I only thought of it tonight. That's because Minyan Idioma. What does the Medrash say about Megillas Rus? The Medrash says in Megillas Rus, which I'm just opening, Medrash Rus Rabbah, Parsha Beis Simen Yudalad. Medrash Ris Rabba, Parsha Beisim and Yudalid. The Medrash questions, why is this Megillah written? Megillah Rus is a very short book. For example, Megillah Esther is 10 prakim long. Megillah Rus is very short, it is four very short prakim long. It's a short story. It's included in the Ketuvim. It's part of the biblical canon. It's one of the Chof Dalad Sifrei Tanakh. Why is it written? And the Mishnah says, the Medrash says, Parasha Beisim in Yudalad, Amar Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira said, Megillah zo eina balo tuma, velo tahara, velo isur, velo heter. It's a story. The Megillah is a story. Now, Chazal derived halachas from the story. That's very nice, but it's a story. It's a story of a family who leaves Beis Lechem Yehuda because of Tsarus Ayin, Rashi to Megillas Rus 1:1. He's the Gadol Dor and the Parnes Hador, but he doesn't want to sustain people during the famine. So he leaves Beis Lechem Yehuda to go to Fields of Moav. He takes Naomi, his niece, his wife. He takes his two sons and they go. God's very unhappy. He dies. They're dwelling there. She makes a shidduch with Eglon, the king of Moav. Machlon and Kilion. Rus marries Machlon. Arpa marries Kilion. After 10 years, they also die. And then all the flocks die. And then Naomi hears that there's food back in Beis Lechem Yehuda. The famine is over. She's totally bereft. All the flocks have died. Her wealth is gone. Perak al Pasukei with Rashi. Her husband has died because God punished him for his tsarus ayin. Her sons have died for marrying these non-Jewish women, Moavi women. There was no conversion yet. They were not Jewish women. She says, you go home to these girls, go back to your mother's house, go back to your gods. I'm going to Beis Lechem Yehuda. They both say, we're coming with you. Perak al Pasuk Yud. She pushes them again, go home. I don't have children. Even if I had a child in my stomach, would you wait? Arpa kisses her goodbye. Rus clings to her. She tries for a third time to dissuade Rus. Okay, so you could say we learn from here that you have to dissuade potential convert three times, but it's not written like that. It's just written as a story. The third time she tries to convince Rus again to leave. Your sister-in-law went home to her house and her gods. You should also go. And Rus says, stop. Now, tifki bila azvech, lashuv me'acharayich, ki asher atero talchi eilech, ameich ami elokayich elokay, asher talin alin, I said a little of order. Finally, Rus goes with her. They go back to Beis Lechem Yehuda, and the whole nation is astonished. Oh my God, I can't believe it. This is Naomi. Don't call me Naomi. Pleasant. I went Malaya. Reikam Hashivani Hashem. Why do you call me Naomi? Call me Mara. God dealt bitterly with me. They return from the fields of Moab and the Paragoth. Parag Beis are very poor. They have no food. They're barefoot. They're in tatters. Naomi has fallen from the heights of aristocracy to being a pauper. And there's this cousin. It's Naomi's first cousin and Elimelech's nephew, and his name is Boaz, and he's rich, and he has fields. Rus goes to glean in the fields of Boaz. He allows her to glean in his fields. Not only does he allow her, he says, only stay in this field. Don't go to anyone else's field. Stay with my lads. They'll protect you. Eat with them during the lunch break. Take home food to your mother-in-law. Perek Gimel, it's the date. Naomi says, he is our Goel. We're going to have a shidduch here. When he's down in the granary at night, he's protecting his grain from the thieves. It's the time of the harvest. You should wash. You should anoint. You should dress in Shabbos clothing. You go down to the granary, lay at his feet, no light pollution, pitch black. And when he's sleeping, you should uncover his feet. And you should discuss with him that he should marry you. He is the Goel. We have to establish a name for the dead. Because Elimelech died, Machlon and Kilion died, and there's no progeny here. She goes down, whatever you say I'm going to do, she says to her mother-in-law. Very strange instructions, but she says, I'm going to do it. He has wine, he goes to sleep, he's sleeping, she uncovers his lens, he wakes up, he's so startled. And he says, who are you? What are you doing here, my daughter? And she says, you are the Goel. He says, I'm going to marry you, unless Ploni Almoni wants to marry you, /Tov, who's a brother of Elimelech, Boaz is only a nephew. That's Perek Gimel. He says, go home quietly. Don't let anyone know that you were here. In the morning, we'll see if Ploni Almoni doesn't want to marry you. I'll marry you. Perek Dalet, they're sitting in the gates of the city. And who should walk by? Ploni Almoni. Do you believe it? Look at this coincidence. Ploni Almoni, do you want the fields of Naomi? Of course I want the fields of Naomi. Do you also want the Moavi daughter-in-law as your wife? No, I don't want the Moavi daughter-in-law as my wife. I'm going to ashchis nachasi. You think I want to destroy my inheritance? Ploni Almoni's out of the picture. Boaz marries Rus. They're married for one night. Medrash. He dies, she conceives, she has Ovid, who has Yeshua, he's Dav Melech, so it's very nice. It's very nice. His story. It's a story. Not halachos. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Medrash, Rus Rabba, Perek Bey, Simon Yud Dalet. But Megillah Zo Ein Balo Tuma. This Megillah does not teach us about ritual impurity. Parak Yud Beis Pasuk Al through Beis of Vayikra. Isha Kidazriel Vialdo Zachar Vetuma Shivas Yami. Ain't but Tuma. Doesn't tell me anything about Tuma. Velo Tahara. It doesn't tell me Vyatsa Koina Michutz Machane Vihine Nirpanega Hatsaras Mina Tsarua Parak Yudalad Pasuk Beis of Vayikra. Doesn't tell me anything about Tahara. Velo Isser. It doesn't tell me, I don't know, Isser, most of you, Eish B'chamash V'sechem B'yamash Shabbos, Perek Lamed Hev Shemos, there's nothing that's Isser. V'lo Hetzer, it doesn't tell me about what's permitted. You call it Tzagan Uchal Tochal. So it doesn't tell me about Tahara, Tuma, impurity. It doesn't tell me about Tahara, purity. It doesn't tell me about Isser, what's forbidden. It doesn't tell me about Hetzer, what's permitted. V'lo Am Anichtava. It's not Michal saying it's the Medrash. Why was it written? What's the point? The Torah is reading fairy tales, Chas V'Shalom, Chas V'Shalom, Chas V'Shalom. Is that the point? It's a story. What do I learn from this story? Why was it written? Lelamdecha, to teach you. Kama schar tov the gomlei chasadim. Mamish, I sat down to bread. I couldn't believe where I'm after a victim there. I couldn't believe it. It's only because it's the night before Shavuos. Because all the five times before, I literally re-prepare every single time for sure. You should just know that. It's always a new preparation. So the five times before, I didn't think it. Why not? Because it was an Erev Shavuos. But now, with Shavuos on my mind, and this, where are we up to? Chasidav, what's Chasidav? Someone who's kind. Hashem's kindly ones. It's not enough for a person to be kind person to go of their ego. He has to do so because of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So this book of the Ketuvim, one of the Chaf Dalet Sifrei Tanakh, what is it teaching me? I'm a Nichtava. Why is it written? It's the Lashon of the Medrash. To teach you how great is the reward for those who bestow kindness on people, on others. That's a very short medrash. That's what the medrash says. Art school footnote. This is my art school medrash rabbah. Megillos, Chamesh Megillos. It's so beautiful. Really beautiful. The footnote tells us, which footnote did I want to read to you? Yeah. And Rus received the ultimate reward for dealing kindly with Machlon and with Naomi. She married the righteous Boaz, and she became a mother of the Davidic dynasty. Now remember, she refused to leave Naomi alone. Arpa, no problem, and Arpa went home. She's a real character, and she is a whole Sheridan of herself. Naomi sticks with her. And she is Zocha to cling to righteous Boaz. The book of Rus, therefore, was included in scripture in the Chavdal Sifrei Tanakh, so that all Jews, even the masses who may be unable to study the oral law, listen to this, according to the Yifei Anaf, it's very nice insight, I'm reading the art school footnote to the Medrash, according to the Yifei Anaf, the Medrash is teaching as follows, the book of Rus was included in Sifrei Tanakh, so that all Jews, even the masses who may be unable to study the oral law, will be able to learn this critical lesson that emerges from the text itself. So I'd say you have very simple, people of simple intelligence, and they can't understand Torah Shabbat, and they can't derive halachas, and they can't understand Pilbul, and they can't understand the Mechamta Toshel Torah, and their mind doesn't make connections. But they could read a story. They could read a story. So the Yifei Anaf is saying that every person can open this book. You don't need to be Albert Einstein, but open this book. You don't need to have the mind of the Vilna Gaon Lahavdil, between him and Albert Einstein. You don't need to have the mind of the Vilna Gaon. You can understand. If Hashem included this in one of the Sifrei Tanakh, how important is it to do chesed? L'lamdecha kamaschar tov l'gomlei chesedim. I want to see if I want to teach you this insight A. No. I'm skipping one of the things I wanted to prepare. Oh, this is nice. I'll say one thing. The Medrash explains her name was Rus, Milashon Ra'asa, Ra'ata, or Ra'asa, she saw. What did she see? The matters of her mother-in-law. On a simple level, she accepted all that her mother-in-law told her, but it might also mean she saw her mother-in-law's status. Rus was able to see past the broken, destitute, elderly woman in front of her. She was able to treat her mother-in-law with the nobility and greatness that she deserves. The ability to, so in other words, can we see past the exterior? Some people, not us, but some people look down on people who are impoverished, certainly not us and not anybody I know, but they look down on people who are impoverished. They look down on people who are hard on their luck. They look down on, it's a hard expression, it's not a Jewish expression, but I'm using it for illustrative purposes. They look down on people who are of lower intellectual status. They look down on people who are a little bit different. Do we have the ability to see past the exterior to see who the real person is? Rosh understood her Madalena was the same person. Even though Kihei Marisha Kaili Ma'od, God dealt very bitterly with me. Don't call me Naami, call me Mara. And her husband died, and Nimleya Halachti Vurekam Hashivani Hashem. I went full and I came back empty. Rosh still gave her the kavod of the person she was before. And that's a tremendous chesed. Perhaps it's one of the biggest chesedim there is. To treat a person of the neshama that they are inside and not the exterior that may see. The ability to feel for and see another person spurred Ruth, to insist on accompanying her Madalena back to Eretz Yisrael against all attempts at dissuasion. And now, the ability to see, this is so beautiful, the ability to see another person's situation is in reality the root of all acts of kindness. What is the root of chesed? The ability to see another person's situation. Because a selfish person cannot see beyond himself. Not even the person standing right in front of him. So the ability to see who a person really is, to perceive their needs, to perceive their dignity, to understand their lack and their want, is really the root of all chesed. The root of really all chesed is that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam in this world. Olam chesed ibana. He's the one who built the world on chesed. He is the tova meitiv. And since we have a mitzvah of alachta bidrachav, so to yudalad aleph, darash rabbi simle, torah tchilasa chesed, gmilas chesedim v'sofa, gmilas chesedim. Torah begins with loving kindness of God and ends with loving kindness. That's the first chesed in the Torah. Vayasu shem elokim l'adam l'ishto kosnos ar vayalbishim. God clothed Adam and his wife posin. It's the first chesed in the Torah. And what's a final chesed in the Torah? Vayikbar oso begai. God buried Moshe Rabbeinu. Kivur mesim. So whose chesed is the bookends of Torah? The Ribbono Shel Olam. So when we do Torah, when we do Torah, yeah, we should always be doing Torah. When we do acts of chesed, we are emulating the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's the truest chesed. And if you see the Ribbono Shel Olam in every other person, but Tzelem Elokim Nivra HaAdam, then you will always be a gomel as chesed. And that's who Rus Ras. And that's what the Medrash says. The Medrash Mamas says, why was this book written? Lo Tuma, Lo Tahara, Lo Isser, Lo Heter. Lama Nechtava. Should be included in the biblical canon. It's that great, yes. Why? L'amdecha kamas chartov l'gom lechosadim. To tell you how great is the reward. How great is the reward to one who's a gomel chesed, who became the mother of Melech HaMashiach. That's how great the reward was. Medrash Shmos Rabbah. Medrash Shmos Rabbah teaches us on the pasuk, Vayigdal yalad vativiehu lebas paro, vayihi la leben, vatikro shmo Moshe, Ki amra ki minemayim ishisiu. It's Shemos Perak Beis Pasuk Yod. Okay? The Medrash Shmos Rabbah says, look how great is the reward to Gomlei Chasadim, that the Ribbono Shel Olam, that even Hashem didn't call Moshe any other name other than Moshe, to give kavod and azchus to Bas Paro who named him. On that Pasuk, Shemos Perak Beis Pasuk Yod, Medrash Shmos Rabbah says, look how great is the reward to those who are Gomlei Chasadim. Sha'afakos Baruch Hu lo kara Hashem mecher b'chol Torah kulo. Even the Ribbono Shel Olam did not call Moshe another name in the Torah, Ela Moshe. Why? Because that is the schar to Gomel Chasad. Bas Paro saved Moshe. She could have drowned him in the river, turned over the basket, and goodbye baby. Drowned like all the other babies. She saved him. And what did Hashem do? He rewarded her that even though Moshe had 10 names, the only name of the entire Torah that he's called is Moshe. Why, says the Medrash? Because she was a Gomel Chasad. Why did Rus become the mother of Melech HaMashiach? Melech HaMashiach, Oved Yishai David. Why? Because she was a Gomel Chasad. Beautiful insight. I'm going to screen share with you. Let's go to the book of Rus. The only thing that's funny that that's where we were up to in the Sefer, in the Kuntras, which we're in the middle of, and we're up to Chasad. Okay, can't make it up. Let's go. Perek Gimel. Okay, so I gave you the overview very, very quickly before. So she has to go glean in the fields. Oh, this is the date. That's not what I meant to go to. Okay, she's going to glean in the fields. She's going to glean in the fields of Boaz because they're poor. They're destitute. They're going to starve. She's going to do leket, the bundles that fall off the harvest wagon. 1 to 2 bundles go for the poor. The landowner's not allowed to pick them up again. There's the peya, leket, and shechacha, 3 different ways of the field, of the landowner through his field sustaining the poor. She's going to go glean in the fields of Boaz. Okay. So Naomi, no, and Rus the Moaviah says to Naomi, I'm going to go to the fields. I will do leket with the bundles. And her mother-in-law says, go. They have nothing to eat. And she goes and she comes and she does leket in the field after the reapers. And it's Boaz's field. Could you imagine from the family of Elimelech? Look at this. Wow. Vayikar mikra. If you believe in coincidence, and it's coincidental. She happens to choose the field of Boaz. But if you don't believe in coincidence, it's all arranged by God. And Boaz comes from Beis Lechem and he says to his reapers, God is with you. Shalom Aleichem. And they say, Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem, Shalom. Hashem Imachem, Yivarech Hashem. That's how they greet each other. And Boaz says to the ones who are standing over the reapers, who is this girl? He sees this girl gleaning in his fields. And they say, oh, this girl who's gleaning with the reapers, she is a Na'ara Moaviah. She's a not Jewish girl. She came back with Naomi. Who's Naomi to Boaz? They're first cousins. Their fathers were brothers. And she says, can I do leket here, gleaning, and I'll gather among the stalks after the reapers. And she came and she stood here from the morning till now. And she even tarried a little bit. She delayed a little bit. 1 second. I just want to make sure. She delayed a little bit in the house. Shivta ceased. Okay, she had to rest in the house a little bit. And Boaz says to Rus, you know, I heard about you, daughter. I heard about you, daughter. They told me about you. Don't go to do gleanings at any other fields. Don't go leave my field. Whoops. Oh, I just thought of something so cool that I never thought of in my whole entire life. Wow. Parak Aleph Pasuk Yud Dalet. Vatishak Orpa Lachamosa Virus Davkaba. Orpa kisses her mother-in-law, and Rus clings to her. And the Gemara says in Sota, Mem Beis Amar Beis, Yavo Bnei HaNeshuka V'yiplu Lifnei Bnei HaDvuka. Chazal do not like Orpa at all. Anyway, they say that the sons of the one who kissed come and fall before the sons of the one who clung. Orpa was the kisser. Her son should come and fall before the one who clung. Rus was the clinger. So I just thought of something very interesting. I never thought of it in my life. He uses the word tidbakin. Boaz says to her, don't go glean in any other fields. Don't pass from this field. He does. And what does he say? V'choz tidbakin imna arosai. Very, very interesting. He says, cling to my maidens, cling to my workers. It's mida kenega mida. He's saying to her, you should stay here. You're now going to be sustained. You're not going to be hungry. You don't have to go look for food anywhere else. Stay in my fields. It's a reward. They're going to be starving. There was a famine and they just came back. Okay, the famine's over, but they have nothing. They have absolutely nothing. They're going to starve. And here she has a beautiful reward. What is it? The Boaz says, stay in my fields. But what lashon does he use? Lidavek. The same lashon that the pasuk tells us, Perek Al Pasuk Yudal, that she used to cling to her mother-in-law. She did not abandon her mother-in-law. Boaz is not going to abandon her. Mida kenega mida. She did chesed with her mother-in-law through clinging to her. Boaz is doing chesed with them and allowing her to cling to his fields, to his workers, and not have to worry about where their parnassah is going to come from. It's mida, but mida shadam modei modei no. By the way, a person measures others, so he will be measured. So she clung to Naomi and refused to leave her alone. Boaz, mida kenega mida, says, you could cling to my field and my workers. Very nice. Okay, fine. You can have drinks with them. And she falls down upon her face and she says, wow, you're being so nice to me. Why are you being so nice to me? I'm a stranger. I'm a nachriya. And Boaz says, look, who godly, kol asher asis eschem moseich. I heard everything you did for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband. That's machlon. And you left your father and your mother, the land of their birthplace. Yes, it sounds like Avraham Avinu. That's a different verb, no time. And you came to the land that you did not know from yesterday before today. Hashem should pay back your reward. Your wages will be complete from before Hashem, the God of Israel, that you came to take shelter under the shade. Yes, sounds like Rashi, Tiberius, 12:5, okay, also Avram Avinu. Okay, And she says, wow, you have comforted me. You spoke about the heart of your maidservant. Okay. She gets up to do lekat. I have to skip. She gets up to do lekat. And she comes home with gleanings. Her mother-in-law is going to have food. So she carries them home to the city. And her mother-in-law sees everything that she gleaned. And she takes it out and she shows her what she has. Her mother-in-law says, where did he do lekat today? Where did you do all of this? Let the one who recognized you be blessed. She told her mother-in-law what happened in the field, and she said the name of the man, Asher Asisi Imo Hayom Boaz. So what does this literally mean? Oh, then Naomi says, wow, Baruch Hu Hashem, blesses he to God, Asher lo azav chasto es hachayim ve'es hamesim. God did not abandon his kindness with us, not in life, not in death. And Naomi says, this man Boaz is our redeemer. But look at Pasuk Yates, the Lashon is very strange. Naomi says, where did you get all this food? Thank God we're not going to starve. And she tells her mother-in-law what happens. And she tells her mother-in-law, Es asher asasa imo. She tells her mother-in-law what she did with him. And she says, the name of the man, asher asisi imo, that I did with him today is Boaz. Shouldn't she say, the name of the man who did with me today? I did with him. She's gleaning in his fields. She's taking his bundles. She's drinking with his workers. She's having parched grain at the lunch break with his field men or women. Why is she saying what I did with him? Let me tell you about what I did with him. It's a strange lesson. Shema ish asher asisi imo. Es asher asasa imo. What's going on here? So once again, we go to Medrash Rus Rabba. Medrash Rus Rabba, Parsha Hey, Simon Nun. No, I don't know why I just said that. Parsha Hey, Simon Tes. I have no idea where that Nun came from. I don't know why I said that. 5:9. Tini B'Shem Rabbi Yoshua. It is taught in the name of Rabbi Yoshua. It's short Medrash. Yoser Mimasha Bala Bais Osa Ima Ani. Ani osa ima balabais. More than the balabais, the wealthy landowner, more than the homeowner, more than the, I don't know, rich person does with the poor person, the pauper, the gleaner. The pauper, the gleaner, the recipient does with the landowner, the rich person. How do we know? Shekein amr rus lo na'ami, because Rus said to Na'ami, Shein ha'ish asher asisi imo hayam. Because Ruth said to Naomi, would you believe the name of the man that I did for him today? Velo amra, and she didn't say, asher asa imi, that he did with me. Ela asher asisi imo, you did with him. He gave you food. He gave you water. He gave you parched grain. He gave you gleanings to take off. He tells you, you can stick to my field and not go to another field. He tells his workers to be nice to her. You did with him. What did you do with him? You took it from his food and his water and his field. No, the manager says, I'm going to tell you something very important from this pasuk. What you have to know is more than the balabais does with the ani, more than the wealthy person, more than the giver does with the recipient. Ani owes him a balabais. The recipient does for the giver. Because Rus says to Naomi, the name of the man that I did with him. And she doesn't say that he did with me. Harbi pu'ulos, v'harbi tovos asisi imo, b'shvil shehechilani prusa achas. I did many actions and many good things for him because he gave me a piece of bread. That's not being a balgaiva. She's saying the emes. It's not presumptuous. Not at all. No. No. First of all, it could be nisnaba v'lo yadash masha nisnaba, which also goes back to Baspar, by the way. Hey, shalichi. Oh, this is the way that the Ketuvim writes that the Ribbono Shel Olam ordained that the Ketuvim should be written. And this is where Chazal Darshan. So it's not translated literally when you really read the story. And it's certainly not presumptuous at all Because the ksuvim is coming to teach us something. The psukim are coming to teach us something. And the reality is more than the giver does for the receiver. The receiver does for the giver. I'm giving them a mitzvah. What do we have here? Another act of chesed. Harbei pu'ulos. Many things. Harbei tovos. And many good. Asisi imo. I did with him, according to the Medrash. Bishvil shechilani pusa achas. Because he gave me one piece of bread. Why was this whole story written? Says the Medrash, to teach you the acts of reward of greatness of Gomnei Chasadim. Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav, says, the Messiah has another grandmother who came to us from the Gentile world. Rus was heroic. Boaz acknowledged the great courage of this pagan girl in casting her lot with a people she did not previously know. And Boaz says to her, in Perek Beis, it has been fully told to me all that you have done unto your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. You have left your father, your man, your father and your mother, the land of your birthplace. You have come into this people who you did not know before. May the Lord pay you back. We just saw these psukim, by the way. When we read these words, they are thanking Ruth for joining a people which she did not know. We nilly-willy, the Rav uses that expression often, think of the question that is addressed to any non-Jew. What prompts you to convert? The Gemara says in Yevamos, we must say, do you know that the Jews are persecuted and oppressed? They are despised and harassed? They're overcome by affliction? That's what the Gemara says in Yevamos 47a. When a non-Jew applies for Gerus, you need to say to him, are you sure you really want to do this? Do you know that the Jews are persecuted and oppressed, despised and harassed, overcome by affliction? The meaning of Boaz's words point to the same truth. He is astonished. Why would you want to come into this people? Only a hero, says the Rav, joins our strange and lonely people. And that's exactly who Rus was. It is amazing. The words of Boaz were spoken at the dawn of Jewish history. At a time when the tension between Jew and non-Jew was not yet known. The episode preceded Haman's hatred and the indictment of the Jews, the Alexandrian hate literature, the Gospels. The world knew nothing of the Jew's uniqueness, his so-called isolationism, his so-called egocentricism. Nevertheless, Boaz admired Rus's fortitude for daring to join a strange and misunderstood people and not abandon her mother-in-law. We Jews, says the Rav, have been a strange people since the very birth of our nation. It has always taken courage, the ability to do something bold, to defy public resentment and identify with an unknown, mysterious people. What was mysterious about the Jews in early biblical times? The mere fact. So what was mysterious? Today, the whole world could tell you what's mysterious about us. Today, the whole world could tell you what's weird about us. But then, what was mysterious? What was weird? They were not pagans. The mere fact that in early biblical times they believed in one invisible, incorporeal God was puzzling to the pagans. Moreover, the Jews served their God by preaching morality, whereas the pagans worshipped their idols by giving gifts to them, by intoxicating them with orgiastic pleasure. Lest you think it's an exaggeration, Medrash Rus Rabbah 2:20 tells us that the night that Orpah left her mother-in-law, she slept with 100 men and a dog. Go look it up. Rus was a heroic woman. She joined a people alien to her. She committed herself to a way of life she did not understand. She herself came from a pagan background. She's a Moabite princess. She's the daughter of Eglon, where unlimited pleasure and overindulgence were an element in worship. And she joined a religion that demands discipline and redemption of the biological call for gratification. In a word, Gerus is a heroic action at the level of observance and practical living. At the level of one's relationship with the non-Jewish world. No wonder the Gemara says, when the Jews said, we will do and we will obey, says the Gemara, they were called Gibore Koach, heroes of strength. Says the Rav, the poor of biblical times used to, I'm just deciding what to end with. The poor of biblical times used to glean and gather after the reapers. Rus gleaned and gathered after the reapers. The poor of biblical times used to glean and gather after the reapers. The Almighty too gleaned and gathered, not ears of grain, but beautiful inclinations and noble virtues. From these he wove the soul of King Mashiach. God found a heroic girl in the fields of Moab. The Almighty was busy with the formation and creation of the Messiah's personality. which was to embody the finest and most beautiful elements in the depths of mankind. And so God brought this girl to the fields of Judea so she could collaborate with him, the Ribono Shel Olam, in creating the Messiah personality. Rus contributed the heroism of loneliness. She was a lonely person. She left her father and her mother. Her first husband died. The townspeople shunned her. And yet she clung to her mother-in-law. And as a reward, Boaz says, cling here. Cling to my fields. Don't go glean anywhere else. You are taken care of. And God brought her, this heroic girl from Moab, to the fields of Judea. So she could collaborate with the Ribono Shel Olam in creating the Messiah personality. Ma'ahu chanun v'rachum af ata. Shabbos 133b. And just like God is the Baal Chesed par excellence, Rus embodied the Chesed of the Ribono Shel Olam. And for this she was Zocha, not only that her story is included in the Chavtal Sifrei Tanakh, but she was rewarded with being the mother of Melech HaMashiach. She contributed the heroism of loneliness, and she accepted what was incomprehensible. Why is this book written? Lama Nechtema, Eim Vatuma, Tahara, Isser Veheter. Says Rav Avigdor Miller. That's why we find in Tanakh an expression, chassid. I couldn't script it. This is literally where we're up to. Could I make this up? I can't make this up. That's why we find in Tanakh an expression, chassid, of his pious ones. A chassid means someone who is kind. He's willing to go beyond the line of duty. Why does it say chassid of his kindly ones and not just kindly ones? It's not enough for a person to be a kind person. He has to do it because there's a Ribono Shel Olam. And Rus believed there was a Ribono Shel Olam. What does she say? Asher telchi eilech, asher talini elin, 116. Amech, ami, elokayech, elokai. Because there's a Ribono Shel Olam in this world. She molded herself into Abalas Chesed par excellence as a reward. She merits not only to join Amisha, but to become the mother of Malach HaMashiach, Hinu Hu Ba Yavav V'Yigalenu, B'mher B'yaminu, Mashiach Tzidkenu. Gevaldik. Thank you, Ribono Shel Olam, for where we're up to. Thank you, Hashem, for Torah. Thank you all for learning with me. Thank you to the Frun family for ensuring that these shiurim continue. L'zecher Nishmas, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha HaShalom. I wish everyone a gevaldik, beautiful, uplifting Yom Tov, wherever you will be, with the reacceptance of Torah, Kimu Masha Kliblu Kvar, we will reaccept. I'll be accepted once before. Ma'ahavti sorosech. I'll call you misichasi. Thank you. Besoros tovos. A good Shabbos and a wonderful Yom Tov. Thank you so much, everybody.